Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
What is hope? Here's a couple definitions. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. So it's probably what you guys were all talking about. Kind of, I hope this, you know, something going on there. Grounds for believing that something good may happen. So that one got a little extra, yeah, this is gonna, I really want this. Kind of, you got that extra emotion in there. All that's fine and good. And I'm not saying that everything that you were talking about up there is wrong, but oftentimes our hope is there, but our hope is founded in something that's not where it should be founded. So yesterday, every Monday that's a holiday, there's a group of bike riders, about 100 or so. We get together for what they call the Fun Flat 50. So it's a 50-mile ride down Lower Richland, back by the Congaree Swamp and all that. And I got a call to go do that. So I was gone over a lot of the summer, and I've ridden like 4 times since we've been back at the end of July. So not in the best of biking shape, but a couple buddies called and said, "Hey, Rick, you coming out?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll come." And so was thinking about it the night before, and I'm like, I don't have any problem finishing. I don't have any doubt that I won't be able to finish, but I'm going to ride with these guys that I normally ride with, and they normally ride at this pace. And then I'm thinking, am I going to be able to keep up? Because that's embarrassing. When you're riding with a group, what they call is getting dropped. And so they all kind of sail on happily down the road, and then you look like this wind-sucking wimp on the side of the road, one step above collapse. So my hope was that I wouldn't finish necessarily, but that I would just keep up. And so there was one point in the ride, I'd been out in front of the group, call it taking a pull. So I was doing my turn up there, and we were coming up to a turn. And so I pulled over, and you do your elbow. It's the one wing chicken kind of thing that you do. And that tells the guy behind you, your turn. And so when he came up there, we made a left-hand turn. It goes uphill a little bit. And what I didn't realize, and it turned directly into a headwind. And so all of the line goes by me. There were 6 of us. And I pulled off on this side, and they all go around the turn, and they've got their momentum. And we started up that hill, and I didn't get right in the back in time. And like all of a sudden, they were like 5 yards in front of me. Well, if any of you have a bike, you get 5 yards behind the last guy, and all of a sudden, there's no benefit from the guy that's in front of you. You're fighting the wind. Plus, it was uphill. So I did what all brave cyclists do. I said, "Help." And a couple guys kind of fell back a little bit and caught me up to the group. And from there on, I was fine. My hope was in these things that now hate me. I took a bath and a little nap and was going downstairs, and thigh after, you know, right thigh after left thigh is, "You idiot, you're stupid. Why'd you do that? So if my knees start going like that, it's not me, it's them. But my hope was founded in my legs. And so there's hope, but there are different kinds of hope. So there's false hope. All right, so for all of you expectant one day fathers out there, you might have the hope that all of my kids are born potty trained. I tell you right now, not gonna happen. But God gives grace to those who need it in those times, and I survived, and you can too. You might have this other false hope. I hope this guy finishes on time so we can get the lunch. That might prove to be false hope. Or maybe you're in this camp. I hope the Gamecocks can beat Clemson this year. Yeah. False hope. So there's false hope where it's just like not gonna happen. Sorry for all of you Gamecock fans out there. But there's also misplaced hope. I hope this lottery ticket is a winner. Wow, misplaced hope. I hope I get good grades this semester. Where's your hope? In the professor's pen? Finger, when he clicks your grade in there, when he's grading your paper. You know, there's a great quote by a golfer, Gary Player, who said, "The more I practice, the luckier I get." That's a good adage for studying. You know, if you're hoping you'll get good grades, I think you'll realize the more I study and apply myself, the better my grades end up being. So just remember that. The more I practice, the luckier I get. Well, James kind of speaks to this sort of hope. James 4:3, many of you probably know it. You ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. You ask with the wrong motives because you're looking out for your own interest. This is for me. And so you're saying, God, give me. And so he says, nope. Because it's wrong. And it's pulling us farther and farther away from him. So hope. What is real hope? So if you've got something that gets you to the Bible, go to Psalm 33, if you would. And I'd like to read that together and then just pull a few thoughts out of there. So Psalm 33 says, "Shout for the Lord, for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his inheritance. The Lord looks down from heaven, he sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the heart of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their souls from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you." Let's pray real quick. Lord, we hope a lot of things. Circumstances call us to hope sometimes. And sometimes that hope it's false hope or it's misplaced hope. And we cling to that sometimes. And we're bewildered, frustrated, depressed, because it lets us down. But your word reminds us of who you are, points us to the incredible, sovereign, all-powerful God that you are, that chose to love us. And in that we can have hope. So Lord, as we just take a quick look at this passage, ring out simple but life-changing truth that we might honor you by placing our hope in you, because you are good. In your name, Lord, we pray. We love you. Amen. So, start to cry out to praise. And so it's like the psalmist is saying, you just got to praise him. I mean, that's just basically it. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, and that's not what it translates literally from, but you've got to praise him. Come on, people, you've got to praise him. In all these different ways, you've got to praise him. And then the psalmist, verse 4 and 5 says, you want to know why? Well, let me tell you why. First of all, his word is upright. His word is true. There's integrity. There's wholeness to it. He doesn't speak an idle word. We get that all the time from people, even from friends, even from family. There's idle words. You know, I'm praying for you. Oh, man, we throw that one out. I'm guilty. You know, someone shares something, I'll pray for you. and we walk on and it's gone. But there's worse, other idle words that we share. You know them. But his word is upright, it's true, and it has power. His work is done in faithfulness. It's consistent, it's steadfast, it's dependable. How many of us long for someone that all that they do is dependable, faithful? We can count on them all the time. That's what makes teams tick. And that's what God, through his Son, was trying to do in the church as he worked with the 12 disciples, building that into them, that their faithfulness, all of that stuff would just show the world, this is the church, this is my body. And you look through the book of Acts, it's my favorite book of the Bible, and it just took off. Men that made all kinds of screwy mistakes. After the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, it was like, got it. And they took off with that. So what's the big deal about all of that? 1 Corinthians 15, 19, 20. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. If we claim to be in Christ and we're hoping in the here and now, we are the saddest people that there are. We've got all of these resources and we say, nope, I'm going to put my trust and my hope over here. It's a huge deal to place our hope in him. He's a good one to place our hope in because of the power and integrity of his word. And so in verses 6 through 12 in that passage, we see the power and integrity of his word. First of all, it's obvious in creation. It just says he spoke and it came into being. We know that. But there's a couple statements that just really are kind of cool. Once I find them. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. You ever seen a little kid at the beach trying to get water in their hands to fill up their little hole that they just dug? And they're, you know, by the time they walk back to where their hole is, they got like four drops left in their things. And we try and do these things on our own strength and they're just futile. But he is able to gather the waters. He puts the deeps in storehouses. It's amazing to me that there are continually new discoveries. You know, they're getting deep underwater. I was reading about this thing the other day that there's these steam vents underwater where hot air is coming out. It's heating the water, and they're finding all kinds of new creatures down there, things that have never been discovered. And Christ, God and his creation, I made that. I did that. I know all about it. It's just amazing the power that he has there. So his word is obvious in his creation, just able to speak that word and it's there. But it's obvious in his counsel as well. Isaiah 55, you're probably familiar with this. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we probably acknowledge that. Like, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. I know that you are up there. And you just know things that I don't know, and you call me to trust. But we're always in this tension of not knowing, can I put my trust there? And we look at his counsel, the way that he has worked through scripture, through history, and what he's done, and we know that we can rest in that. Look at verse 10. Here's one that gets me. The Lord frustrates the plans of his people. How many of you have ever gotten frustrated because something didn't work out? Yeah. My freshman year in college, Jan didn't work out. God, I turned my life around. I gave my heart to you afresh. Jan. He frustrated me day after day after day. You ever wonder why he does that? Have you ever turned around and said, Lord, what is your plan? Help me understand. And it took a really close friend of mine to come up to me, give me a verbal one of these. wake me up and say, hey, talk to God. Instead of moping around, kicking rocks on your driveway and saying, God, why'd you do that to me? Talk to God. So why does he frustrate you? Well, talk to him and find out why. That was a freebie aside right there. So he's a good one to place our hope in because of the power and integrity of his word, but he's a good one to place our hope in because of the way that he works. He is faithful. He doesn't work through man's strength or man's strategy because he sees us and he knows us. Verse 13 talks about that. Come on, take a look around. The people that you know, would you trust them? Maybe, for certain things. With your life? With eternity? Probably not. I would fall pretty far short if I had depended on those incredible essentials and other people. And he doesn't do that. So he sees us, he knows us. And our own strength may work in the temporal, the here and now. So my legs were able to pull it off on yesterday. Our strength might work here and now, but we're useless in securing our future in the eternal. When it switches from the here and now, and we get that understanding that, whoa, life is huge and life is forever, then we look pretty weak. You may get the winning lottery ticket. Remember me. You may get good grades this semester, and yes, the Gamecocks might even beat Clemson someday. But if your hope stops there, consider this. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Matthew 16. Jesus speaking to the disciples. All these things that are out there, what's it really going to profit you? Now, I'm not saying, all right, well, then I'm not going after good grades because it's not going to profit me anything. Yeah, it will. But when you're talking about the long term, if you sacrifice relationships, if you've got other priorities in order for you to get that A on that project and that's your pursuit, then your motives are off a little bit. You should always strive for excellence. You should be a steward of the resources God has given you. If someone is helping pay your way here, you owe your best efforts to them. But don't get caught up in the A. Get caught up in honoring God with life. And where that A fits into that life, honor Him. Look at the benefits of placing our hope and trust in Him. So he said it's a good one to place our hope in because of the power and integrity of His word. He's a good one to place our hope in because of the way that He works, His faithfulness. He's a good one to place our hope in because of the benefits. So in the last few verses, 18 through 22, we see in verse 18, we see His deliverance. Romans 8, 28 through 32. Romans 8, 28, very familiar passage. God causes all things to work together for good. Those who love Him, called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also predestined. We would be there for good works. It's pointed towards Christ, back to Him. Because we've been called. And if we've been called, we've been justified. And if we've been justified, we've been glorified. And it goes on, then what are we going to say to these things? This is amazing. What are you going to say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up freely with us, freely for us all, how will we not only with Him get all things? This is what God has chosen to do. He has chosen to deliver us. If God is for us, who can be against us? He delivers us. Also, another benefit is His help, His presence, and His protection. The reality, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And I like this. We're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. That's a great picture that there's a lot that's going on, that's coming out against us. I remember a long time ago, we had a speaker, a preacher from up in Minnesota, Stuart Briscoe, come. He's got a cool British accent that I can fake. But when he was doing that, he goes, "You're blitzed, but not sacked." You know, he would say, and that was just a great verbal picture. You know, my uncle came up for the Labor Day weekend. He lives in Miami. He's a huge Canes fan. I had a ball watching the game. How many of you watched the Miami game? They got slaughtered. There was so much pressure on the quarterback that the quarterback was more worried about, was he going to get hit again, than he was who was out there that I can throw the ball to. It just, there were some times that he just was so worried about the pressure that was coming. But we can see the pressure coming. Blitzed, but not sacked. And that's what God offers to us. The tribulation, the trouble is there, but He is with us. Let me give you the coolest picture of hope in the midst of trial. So this weekend, my wife's brother, she has a sister that's in town. They've been caring for her mom and dad. Her mom fell and broke her hip. Dad is struggling with Parkinson's, and it's pretty advanced. And so their brother flew down this weekend from Montana to just assess the situation. Where do we need to go? And there were some things that we felt like as a family that we needed to do. And one of those was considering assisted living and moving into that, talking to my father-in-law about not driving anymore. Man, these are rights. These are precious things. Your life, your home, your independence. They celebrated their 62nd anniversary Friday night. I got 31, and I'm thinking, that's double. Unbelievable. They're both in their mid-80s. So Sunday night, we had this family meeting. And there was some resistance to going earlier in the weekend. There was some resistance to going to into assisted living thing. And my brother-in-law and I, we jump in the family, but, you know, we still feel like we're not quite in the family. You know, we're the in-law part that's there. And what right do we have to speak up? But just prayerfully saying, listen, since mom has broken her hip and she's been in this rehab facility, Dad, we've provided 24/7 care for you. And his head went down and he said, I never realized how much. And my mother-in-law was like, wow. Because we'd all been going to see her and Dad was spending the day with her and hanging out. She just saw that, but she didn't realize that Patty or Barb was spending the night with her dad to watch over him and care for him. And both of them, very humbly, but oh so godly, just like, man, we never realized that. I think this might be the right thing to do. And they spoke out of such humility and such godliness. You know, here are grown kids. My brother-in-law is a pastor. Just absolutely being humbled by the faith and trust that my parents have, my in-laws have in God, that, Lord, we think this is you. Thanks for using our children to help us realize that. That is the presence of God, the presence, the protection that God has. You can give up your rights because God says, I got you. I'll hold on to you. And the promise, Joshua 1, verse 5, repeated in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is there a stronger word from Scripture besides the promise of our salvation than to know that God always has our back? And so it comes to the end of the passage 21 and 22, and he says, joy. the word joy, and it takes you right back to the start of the passage. Shout for joy. So what? Great passage, cool things, so what? Where's your hope? Do you even know Him that you can put your hope in Him? He's not just some mystical being out there that if you don't have a relationship with Him that you can say, God, take care of this for me. That's not the way that He works. He wants you to be in a relationship with Him. And so I would encourage you to find that relationship. Talk with someone, your prof, your roommate, your RA, your coach, student life. Talk to someone. Find out about that relationship. If you do know Him, your ultimate hope is in Him, then praise Him. What's one of the best ways for us to do that? Well, singing is an awesome way to do that. Love to hear you sing. It's awesome in here, hearing your voices. That's a great way. But our life. Romans 12:1. In light of God's mercy, give Him your life. It's worship. Offer your body to Him, a living sacrifice. Every day we get up and say, God, this is not my life. It's Yours. I'm placing my hope and my trust in You. And then in your heart, you can shout for joy because you know that His word is true. There's integrity in His word, and His works towards you will be faithful and good because you're His child. And even as I watched my parents rest in Jesus, their age, with their mileage and their wisdom, to be able to say, Lord, here's one time where I think I need to back off and listen to my kids, and I think You're speaking through them. What a beautiful picture, what a time of joy we had as family, and let me tell you, doing that with your friends, expressing that type of humility with one another, your relationship will take off because that's the way that God's designed us to interact together. Where's your hope? What are you hoping for? Pray that your hope is in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I almost made it, ending on time, 1 minute. But in spite of lunch that's waiting, Lord, where is our hope? Thank You for loving us. Thank You for desiring that relationship with us and being the one that always has our back. Lord, I pray for each of the students, faculty, and staff in here. Lord, especially for the students, those that are new, start of a new journey. Where's their hope? Where is their ultimate hope? Pester us all with that question, Lord, that we would be in right relationship with You. And if we know You and we're confident of that, then Lord, help us just to live that out and to make our life a daily shout for joy, our sacrifice of praise, daily offering ourselves to You as a living sacrifice as we worship You. Thank You, Lord. We love You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Have a good one, folks.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.